Hey, Nico.
Hey, Con.
I love you.
I love you.
No homo.
A little bit of homo for me.
Just a little?
Just a smidge. From two guys who were never part of the Boys Club, we want to welcome you to ours.
Welcome to Boys Club.
This is our podcast.
About boys.
And about other things.
Like their clubs.
And the things we were a part of.
Hockey.
And we're not a part of.
Bagels.
Wait, did you say we were a part of hockey?
No, I wasn't.
Me neither. Welcome to the club, boys.
Grab a bagel.
Connor's like, what do boys eat?
My feelings.
What's up, Connor?
Hi, how are you?
I'm good.
Welcome back to the podcast. We're so excited to get back into it. Kind of the first episode back in a while since last week, and we're excited to have you. I'm trying to, ever since I started listening to Date Yourself Instead, I'm trying to take this podcast more seriously. Because she
So you weren't taking it seriously up until then?
I feel like sometimes I come on and I'm kind of like, and it's like, if you don't show up, because like if that girl doesn't show up, there's no one there.
Yeah, treat this like two solo podcasters.
If not you, then who? Part of you with the solo podcast is you're kind of like, okay, but like it's a bit of a red flag to not find a co-host. You know, it's like not that hard to get a co-host. And I feel like
I'm always curious by people that do solo podcasts because like I don't think I have enough to talk about just me.
Totally.
Just to spit right into the microphone every week.
I really think I could. It might be rambling.
That was like yesterday when you and Sam Schaefer were talking to each other and you were nervous if you spent 8 hours with him, what you guys would talk about. I was like, you both love to yap. I'm sure it'll be okay.
I'm worried that we would realize that we have nothing to talk about.
I don't think that's possible. You both have so much to say.
I don't know. I'm worried that we'd be sitting on the Lure. I guess you don't take the Lure to the Cloisters. What are the Cloisters?
The Cloisters are upstate a little bit, I think.
Oh my God. I would
not
love
like
to go.
upstate, but like I think you take like the, I don't know, like the, one
they're outside of the city
like just barely.
I think guy took me on a date there one time, which is actually really romantic now that we're talking about it.
Wow, that is romantic.
Yeah,
well,
if he wanted to, he would.
Date yourself instead. Okay,
take yourself instead.
Take yourself to the Cloisters.
Yeah. I was, never mind. Well, at that time I was like really obsessed with this like other thing, and I was trying to make this other thing guy jealous. So I had that date take a picture of me
at the Cloisters
looking really good, and then I posted it to my story to make, so it's like I actually think that when I think about this story in retrospect years and years and years later, like 12 years later, it's like I was really being wrong.
So I wonder sometimes, I think about sometimes like how social media has affected the way that like breakups work.
Uh-huh.
Because like when I've been through bad breakups, I like have to like fully block the person on everything because I just like can't help myself but to do stuff like that. And the only way for me to like get around it is to just fully not allow myself to even like, I'll just fall for it every time. Like,
I'll
post something, I'll check on them, I'll be doing that. Like I have to just block. I can't do it.
You know what? Liz Boss would say that's exactly what you have to do.
And for anyone who doesn't remember who Liz Boss is,
she is a famous podcaster of Date Yourself Instead. And she said you have to detach, how to master the art of detachment to protect your own peace.
But you know what I'm saying? Like if you broke up
before
social media.
Do I know what you're saying? We've both weaponized the Boys Club account to go, this has been around long enough that we've weaponized the Boys Club account to look at things we shouldn't have been looking at.
Not even that. We've both messaged exes through the Boys Club account.
I did it. Did I do that?
I feel like you did.
I don't know.
Somebody is still in our like requests at some point.
That's like 117 weeks.
No. I know. Both of ours. This was like well over 2 years ago.
It's like what beta test was that? It doesn't really make sense on the thing. But I
know. But it's so funny. Anyway.
Don't go into our DMs. But don't go into our DMs.
But what I was going to say is.
Like, you handle the money. I handle the DMs. We're like a real husband and a wife.
Yeah. No, but what I was going to say is like pre-social media, like people could. You probably wouldn't even have to worry about keeping up with your ex unless you live in a small town.
Oh my God. That my ice cream maker? Wait, I have to let this person in.
Go get it.
Wait, I'm so sorry.
Well, this is now going to become a solo podcast.
Let Tony come in.
I'm going to vamp. Okay, let's bring Tony in for a second. We'll introduce him in a minute.
Okay,
but,
I'm happy to vamp.
You nodded when I said that Sam and Connor would have plenty to talk about.
Sam could talk by himself for 10 hours
They could both do a solo podcast.
Yeah. They would have a great time. Yeah. There would be no concerns.
No concerns. How are you feeling about the Mets today?
Oh, I'm so excited.
I'm going to bring it up in a bit as my boys club, but I'm excited to, I'm loving postseason baseball right now.
It is so good. I am so stressed though.
Yeah.
There's nothing like rooting all year to make the playoffs just to rip your hair out as you're watching it. Yeah. I have no enjoyment watching it.
And there's something about like, I don't know. I think I'm at this point used to a 7-game series because like just like NBA and stuff. And so the fact that it's 5 games for the first couple rounds, I'm like, well, that's not enough time. Like, what if they lose? Like, I don't know.
No, I know. The first round was 3 games.
Yeah, that's crazy.
Yes. And I had to miss all of them for various improv classes redacted. Cut that out.
Did you get your ice cream?
Okay, so it wasn't my ice cream maker. Okay. It was for apartment 12, a woman. And it's like, well, some of us are working. Don't just randomly buzz people. Like, we're on the clock right now.
Yeah.
I left a meeting.
Yeah.
But I didn't say that. I'm not. I was just like, okay.
Okay, so we were at, anyway, pre-social media. You could just, unless you lived in a small town, you could just, like, get away from your ex. Like, you wouldn't have to think about it.
Oh.
Like, New York pre-social media, unless you were, like, running in the same circle as that person or, like, worked with them or something, like, you wouldn't have to worry about ever talking to them again.
This reminds me of the end of the movie Brooklyn, mm-hmm. when she says, at one point, you'll be standing there thinking about something that has no relation to the past, and you realize that this is where your life is.
Yeah.
And this is in reference to that digital strategist that you can't get over. One day, you totally will be thinking about this architect who has no relation to the past and realize that's where your life is. Or maybe it's not a man. Maybe it's be your own man.
Maybe it's dating yourself instead.
Date yourself instead.
I'd love that we did talk about this before, but it just still makes me laugh to think about it. It's like, date yourself instead so that you can get a man.
It is. It's not date yourself instead so that you get go with you. It is ultimately, the end goal is still a man.
Yeah.
It still is a man.
Tough.
Yeah, it's hard also because I don't know if I have, she talks a lot about feminine and masculine energy, and mm-hmm. it's kind of like, so where do I fit into this? And it's like, who's the gay guy leader? I said this yesterday. We don't have a gay guy leader. Like, who do I go to?
Anderson Cooper.
I don't think he's everyone's leader. I
True.
Feel like
he's the face of CNN.
I need like gay guy leader.
Okay. Put a call out. Anybody, any gay guy leaders, write in. Did you see any boys clubs this week? Anything you want to talk about?
Well, you know, thank you for asking. When I think about it, there were quite a few. Yeah, so Prime Day was yesterday, so I went on to Prime.
Oh, yeah.
And I was just like, I just got to buy anything. I was like, I want to fucking buy something.
I didn't know it was yesterday, honestly.
And today. You're not too late. You can get on right now.
Okay.
You should. Well, we can do it after, but it goes until midnight. But I was just like, I want to fucking get something. So okay. I got this ice cream maker and all the supplies and a bunch of stuff. And then since then, I've told two people about it, including Jake Cornell that I saw on the street. I yelled, hey, gay guy. And everyone around was upset except for him. And and I was like, oh, I got this. And he's like, the ninja creamer or whatever. And then the other person knew what it was too. So I feel like.
Wait, so where were you when you yelled at Jake Cornell, hey, gay guy?
Two blocks that way.
Okay.
Oh, I don't want to say where he lives.
No worries.
Or where I live.
Nobody knows. Two blocks in any direction from any point in
New
York.
He's in New York. He's a New York-based comedian.
So. Who was mad at you? People on the street?
People were like, don't just yell gay guy like that.
But who's people?
A woman.
And she said that to you?
No, she looked at me mad.
Okay.
But and
she didn't hear that it was coming from a gay guy himself?
I pass.
Okay.
I pass.
Yo, gay guy.
Yo, gay guy. Yo, gay guy. How many syllables was guy?
I just saw a TikTok that was like gay guys trying to make women feel safe on hikes, and they were just like walking by being like, hey, girl.
I saw that
and, like,
too.
It's funny.
It is funny.
Yeah.
It was a reference I didn't get. Agatha's? What is that? What's Agatha's? I don't know.
A flower, maybe?
But I got an ice cream maker. I'm really excited. Apparently, everyone knew what this ice cream maker was all along. Well, I don't know what I'm going to do with it, but it's just...
Well, I was about to ask you that because I feel like you really enjoy your ice cream. So...
I know. I just bought more today. And
so
it's like...
you're just going to like stick that in there, let it whip it up? Or like what's going
to... It's good for me to challenge my demons. And I think in some crazy way, buying an ice cream maker is challenging my demons.
Well...
When that
thing gets out of the box, call me because...
you know I'm not going to set it up.
I know.
I literally was like...
I asked.
I won't know how to. Like, my dad one time...
You're going to be moving out of this place and that thing's going to go right under the curb.
You think they're not going to redo my lease?
I don't mean tomorrow. I just mean eventually.
I worry about that, though. But my dad, when I was in Chicago and I was like 24 or so recently, he was like, he bought me an Instant Pot.
Yeah.
Instant Pot. And he's like, I'll buy this for you. Just have to use it. I bought it. I couldn't turn it on. And then I threw it away. Not immediately. Like, I took years. But I moved with it again and again. And one time, I put all these eggs in it to boil. And then they just cracked right open. And it was like, well, fuck. I'm not a magician.
Yeah.
So it's hard. Technology like that is really hard.
What about a crock pot? I feel like you'd love a crock pot.
I'm open to this new phase. I'm open to change.
All right. Connor is currently open to crock pot. Put that on your
We're capable of change as people.
Open to crock pot. Yeah, we are.
We are capable of change. I want to know, what's a boys club that you saw?
Okay, so last week we were talking about football broadly. Mm-hmm. This week I'm bringing up another sports reference because it is the MLB playoffs right now.
You're kidding.
The Yankees and the Mets are in it. We could
potentially...
The Phillies are maybe going to go out, though.
Think so?
I thought they already went out, no? Or they're about to?
Can I?
Yeah. Oh my God, this is the one time.
Wait, I was jumping at the bit to talk about baseball.
I want to bring our guest in because I think he'll have a lot to say about.
Wait, it's a straight guy.
Yes,
the way
yes.
it's a straight guy. The way that we're talking about baseball for the first
time. It's perfect.
So okay, so I'll just preface my last thing about the Boys Club. Mostly what I'm we'll bring our guest in to talk about the bulk of it.
To tell us what the Phillies are doing.
But something that I'm loving this year in baseball that I'm seeing is swag is coming back to baseball. Swag is coming back in a big way. I feel like for a while, baseball was kind of on the outs. People were saying
is someone told me it was racist.
Well,
not like racist. They just told me that if someone is a big fan of like basketball, that's kind of like it was actually Sam. That's like a green flag. Whereas if you were to consider like the other sports, like things like baseball, hockey, maybe less. Maybe he didn't say that.
Nobody quote Sam on that because this is, I don't even know.
We're not calling you racist if you like baseball. We just think it's maybe like if you like basketball, we think you're not.
Okay, well, the reality is everything in the United States is racist.
Okay.
Fundamentally, systematically, everything is
racist. So what I said a second ago, actually, we are calling you that. So no, we take it back.
No. Anyway, baseball was on the outs for a while. It felt like it was kind of dwindling in its popularity quite a bit. But they're bringing swag back. The players have these amazing chains that are just like, I don't know, they're really glammed out. And I feel like they're bringing a lot of personality back to baseball.
Oh, my God.
I'm really digging that.
I'm excited for that.
So,
well, can the uniforms be less fucking ugly?
You don't like baseball uniforms?
No, they've gotten, the Phillies ones are teal and weird.
Oh,
and I was like,
okay,
what's wrong with red and white?
What about, but you don't like those tight pants?
I love baseball pants.
Yeah.
There
was this guy
on
the Padres yesterday. I was watching the game with my roommate who has a donk.
Oh, my
God.
I thought it was
going to
be a donk.
Capital N, capital K. No. But one time I did watch a replay of Aaron Judge swinging a home run, and it was like the bat and then also just big dong in the pants. Like, and I was like, why'd you have to zoom like that, this poor guy?
They don't wear cups in it?
I mean, not if you're that guy.
Dude, I think you should be wearing a cup if you're in baseball.
Okay. We'll tell him.
I just recently learned that this is where gay guy and gets weird is like, sure. I always thought jock straps were the same as the cup because I'm kind of like on the peripherals of my own community, but also the other community. I'm kind of on, I occupy liminal space everywhere.
Connor's never worn a jock or a cup.
I literally, so I was like, oh, these are the same.
To
and
be gay and man
true.
And go through your entire life without wearing a jock or a cup is pretty impressive.
Can I be a bitch? Then why do we even have a jock? What's the point of a jock? Do you know what I mean? Like, yeah, if a cup is protecting your ball, what is a jock doing?
Holding it together, I guess.
It's being weaponized. It's being weaponized in my community. I don't understand that. I don't get it.
All right. I think we're ready.
Okay. Our guest.
Boys, our guest this week is a great friend of ours, an amazing comedian, improviser, and writer. Also an incredible stand-up, even though he doesn't perform that often. But I will say he should do it more. It's also one of our first straight guys we've had. Boys, please welcome our friend and yours, Tony Ferraro.
Oh, thank you for
having
me.
Welcome, Tony.
Connor, it is so funny for you to be like, I got an ice cream maker. I don't know what I'm going to do with it.
That is
well,
fair.
You can do one thing with
it's
it.
In the
Tony,
name.
Tony, they have settings. There's sorbet. Okay. That's actually it. That's all I remember. There's like a bunch.
There's two settings, ice cream and sorbet.
You got to come over, though. Because what I said to Jake was, I said, I got an ice cream maker. You got to come over and use it, which was like, okay, you fucking slut. Okay, slut on the street. Like, is that real? I actually had to say, I'm literally, like, I got one. I mean it. Like, it's not like, come try my ice cream. Like, whatever.
Yeah. Come sit on my couch. Yeah. Sure.
Classic pickup line.
Come use my ice cream
maker.
I got
this couch at my place.
Do you like my couch?
I do. It's actually very comfy.
Wait, so you're one of the first straight guys we've had on the podcast.
Thank you. I'm honored.
Not to box you in.
Yeah, true. And you can feel free to explore yourself here on the pod. But
because when Sam came on, we said he was the first straight guy that we had on the podcast.
And then and he was like, I'm actually not straight. Yeah. But at the time, who was to know?
Do we have to
who
cut that or know? No? Is he out on the internet?
I think so.
Sam,
well, we can out him.
I mean, Sam, yeah. Reach out if you need us to get it back.
So baseball. You are a Mets fan.
I love the Mets more than anything in the world. And that is true.
Yeah. So can you give us an update on how the Mets are doing and if you know more about the Phillies than I do?
Well, essentially the Mets were, like, they sold off all their high-priced veterans this year. It was supposed to be like a rebuilding year.
Mm-hmm.
But for some reason, they've just like caught lightning in a bottle. And that is like coincided with like a guy dressing up as Grimace and throwing the first pitch at one of the Mets games. So the Mets are now like one game away from knocking out the Phillies. Sorry.
Oh,
and
no, I hope you do it.
Okay, thank you.
Just because that was such a compelling story.
I said one detail about Grimace.
Connor loved the narrative.
I love they thought it was going to be kind of a rebuilding year. And it's like, you don't have to wait for anybody to tell you what to do in this town.
If not now, when?
That's so New York.
Yeah. Ugh. I love that. I'm hoping for a Subway Series World Series. That would be pretty epic.
That's also very Real Houses of New York, because they gutted their whole scene, their whole cast, and then brought on a whole new cast. So it's like, okay, this is like a rebuilding year. Mm-hmm. But honestly, it didn't really catch lightning in a bottle in the same way.
Was that what Jenna Lyons was on?
She is amazing.
Okay.
But everyone else is kind of like, who is this lady?
Well, what about Bethany Frankel? She's not still
on. Oh, I loved her. She's gone.
They got rid of her.
I loved her. She's doing not well. She's doing well. She's in the podcasting space as well.
So. And that's how you know she's not well.
She's unwell. She's quite bad.
And if you go from TV to audio, that's not a good step.
Never good.
It's a step backwards.
No, and like we're not Alex Cooper's per se. You know, she's making $125 million over a 5-year period of time or something.
That's insane. Yeah.
And on the same app as us.
Yeah.
Spotify. Yeah.
This conversation about the Mets has quickly become so inaccessible to me.
Oh my God. Thank you for...
I don't know what's going on at all.
Thank you for advocating for yourself.
Thank you.
Okay. Welcome. Bring it back to the Mets. So you grew up in New York?
Yeah, Long Island.
What part? Huntington?
Close. Garden City.
I know Huntington really well. I went there one time.
How do you know Huntington?
So when I was in college, my dad and I drove my brother. I don't know why I went, just for whatever, but like I drove my brother to like a concert that was like the Fray, and then we went to an Italian restaurant and then saw August Osage County the movie at a movie theater.
That's a long day.
Yeah.
Oh, well, it's like a really big town. So like there's a lot you can do.
There's a lot to do.
You do everything in Huntington.
Yeah,
you can do everything in Long Island.
Yeah.
What was I going to say? So you've been a Mets fan your whole life.
Yes.
Yeah.
And they're almost never good. I would say they're good maybe once every 10 years.
Yeah.
So when they are good, you always think, well, this is the next era. And then like next year, like half the players will like shatter their legs. And, like, it'll fall apart so fast. So you have to cherish it when it's happening.
Okay. So here's my question. What I want to understand is, do you watch every game?
No, you can't.
You can't. There's
too much. It's 162 games.
Oh my God.
Yeah. It's a lot. It's a long season. Plus, I mean, can you even like, cause I know, so my roommate Sam is a big Yankees fan. And so he has the Yes app, which is the Yankees entertainment sports station or whatever, and I always joke that it's called Yes because yes, it works. it's such a shitty it's like live from the Bronx. Some old man is like streaming it. It's like not a good app, but anyway, so he has that, so we technically can watch all the games. Is there like a comparable Mets?
There is, but I'm not gonna pay for their SNY Plus. Sorry, it's a terrible app. I stream all the games through Reddit.
Oh, smart.
No, it's not smart.
Oh.
Because for a while, I only had my work laptop, mm-hmm. so I was fighting through dozens of, like, porn sites and viruses constantly, fighting through, lingering for a long time and enjoying.
Totally. We've been there. Reddit porn is not dead.
No, it's alive and well.
Reddit porn probably is the new Tumblr porn. Because Twitter, I think to be on Twitter, you're a content creator. If you're on Reddit, you're just a guy, okay?
Yeah.
You're just a man.
There's no credit on Reddit.
Yeah, you're an anonymous person who just wants to, is like an exhibitionist in a way. That's great.
And I always kind of like that because I'm like, it feels more real.
Yeah.
Than like, it's not so... conceived and contrived.
Yeah, you want to see a real naked guy.
Yeah.
You don't want to see like a roided naked guy whose like job it is to get naked. I want to see someone who's in it as a passion project.
Yeah.
Kind of like woodworking, like a freelance thing.
Yeah.
He's got to have a real job.
Yeah. We actually have talked about the Mets kind of a lot on this podcast, but mostly because of our favorite mascot, Mrs. Met.
Oh, yeah. Did you hear about her?
What do you mean?
I think did they get rid of her? Oh, they took her Instagram away.
They took her Instagram away.
It's giving Britney. Yes. That's crazy.
Mm-hmm. They have her in a conservatorship.
Why did they take it away?
I don't know. When we were most keeping up to date with the Mets organization was when, so I went to a game and I saw Mrs. Met live and I was
and
like,
you fell in love.
Wow. I just like loved the idea that they took these two baseball mascots and they were like, well, there's got to be a man and a woman, and that she was curvy as fuck. And I was like, they were like, this is abroad from Long Island. I was just like loving the energy that they were giving Mrs. Met, and the little ponytail out of the baseball hat was funny. And then I looked her up and I saw Mr. Met has like 70,000 Instagram followers. He's verified. He's like clearly like part of the Mets organization. She was at Mrs. Met 00, like not even just at Mrs. Met. And she had like 6,000 followers, but she was always posting about Taylor Swift. So it was like still affiliated with the Mets, but it was like really odd. And then they got rid of it and they combined their accounts. But it's still just at Mr. Met. So it's like, why isn't it at Mr. and Mrs.?
That is really fucked up.
You know?
Yeah,
that is really weird.
Yeah. Oh,
but the reason they got rid of it is all the things you said leading up to that. You know, it like kind of does things.
Yeah, no, it totally does. But she would like literally post every time. It was like, my favorite album, 1989. And it was like, is Taylor paying you? What is this like just unbridled like support of Taylor Swift? It's so interesting.
I get that part. I get. Are you a Swiftie?
No.
No worries.
I'm not. No, I'm, totally. I'm neutral on Taylor Swift, wait, which I think good. Is kind of a rare stance.
It is.
I know.
It
people is. Love to, people love to have an opinion.
But I appreciate that because I also kind of feel like, I mean, I like her music. There's plenty of songs of hers I enjoy. And I think she's like obviously very talented and has done a lot. Like you can't knock 10 albums that do really well. Like that just is success.
I think 11.
Excuse 11. Me. I thought she had 10. 11. It's 11.
It's 11.
When, is she going to stop at 13, you think?
I don't know. Someone tweeted that Tortured Poets felt like a penultimate album, but that was just a random person on Twitter.
Yeah, true.
And was 13 just a guess? Or is that something you heard?
13 is her favorite number, right?
Because I used to avoid the number 13, but now I don't. And that's the end of the story.
And that's the power of Taylor.
Now I lean into it really hard. Now if if locker 13 is open, I'm in.
Yeah.
I'm fucking in.
I just like don't understand though. Like it is mostly men who are very like, oh, I hate Taylor Swift. And it's like, just ignore her. Why do you care? Like, I don't know.
That's the thing. I don't care about almost everything. So I don't understand a guy who would care so much about music he doesn't like.
Yeah.
Are you like an INFJ? What is your...
I don't know what that means.
Oh, no worries. I'm going to send you this test. It's 50 questions, but it's fast.
Should I do it on mic?
It's a fast 50.
It's fast 50. Really fast 50 questions.
If you were to guess though, because he can usually call him like he sees him.
I think you're an INFJ, but it is hard. I don't know that many straight guys right now, and right it's now. It's harder to know. I used to know a ton.
Yeah, and you're always Catholic.
Am I always Catholic?
Wait.
You know, one time a few years ago when I was 24, I lived in Chicago, and I went to a psychic across the street from a city Target, and I gave her $20 in cash that I literally had to go to the Target to buy something to get cash back, and I gave her $20 in cash to ask any question, and I said, what should I do? And her answer was, who's Tony? Have I told you that? I tell you this every time I see you.
You've told me this many times.
I think your girlfriend's like, stop saying that. She like was like nice for her at first, and now
yeah,
she's like,
show,
stop.
She's gonna put
it
a
up.
Hit out on you if you keep
she's
this
like
up.
That's enough, we get it.
So funny for your one question to be, what should I do?
Yeah,
so open-ended.
Well, I really
and
wanted
her
to get
response to be, who's Tony?
Who's Tony?
Answer with a question.
Like if I'm on a dating app and your name is Tony or Anthony, I will kind of allow it. Anything goes. Anything goes. You're a moderate, I'm in. Like,
here's my question for you. Have you been to like psychics a lot before or after? Why did that one stick with you so much?
I hadn't. I think I'd only ever been, I got my tarot read one time with coworkers in Madison, Wisconsin. Never do that.
No, you don't want to get tarot or psychics, I think, with coworkers.
You totally not. Because then intimate. She's like, oh, it's the hanged fairy. And I was like, LOL, crazy. Because you're with coworkers.
Jesus Christ.
Laugh my ass off, Matthew Shepard vibes. Like
oh
it was
my
so
god.
Bad.
Oh my god!
He gets to cut that, I guess. No, but I'm not saying anything bad about them. I really liked those coworkers.
Are those coworkers or celebrities?
They like feel like celebrities. Really exactly. Feels like a celebrity. She is so. She was so kind to me, and she worked with me at RX Bar, and that's the end of the story. But we were at the CrossFit Games.
Right.
I had to go to the CrossFit Games to work. I cut you off like 10 minutes ago.
No, I don't even remember what I was going to ask. But I am curious, Tony, about your history with the Mets and the Yankees. Like, were you ever, because the Yankees are a big time franchise and have always been very good. Were you ever tempted or did you always kind of root for the underdog?
No, I think I was drawn to a team that wasn't good. Like, there's something about a team where it's like, oh, we had one bad year. Let me just sign all the best players on the market.
Yeah.
And they had, like, the most money. It's like, that's just not very interesting.
That's totally. The Yankees?
That's, yes, the Yankees. That's the Yankees, yeah. They have a lot of money.
Oh, but now God. The Mets are the richest team in baseball.
Why?
Are they really?
A new guy just bought them, this, like, Long Island billionaire.
Dang.
Who has been charged with, like, insider trading, oh, which God. Is all stuff I really like. So
well, if you are going to get charged, like, I think that's one of the good ones to get charged with, right? I thought
really
it was going
to
be bad. I thought it was going to be one of the mean ones or one
yeah,
of the predatory
yeah,
ones.
Yeah, it's definitely better than others, even by as financial crimes
we're
go.
Pro insider trader.
Well,
on this podcast, we kind of think it's like, if you can figure it out, you can do it.
It's like counting cards.
Well, insider yes, trading yes, is truly like, one of the easiest
things oh, you're
in the
talented.
World to pull
yeah.
off.
Yeah.
Wait, can you explain it to everyone?
Well, like, let's just say you worked at, like, some big company, and you're like, oh, I am the accountant there. I know the reports are bad, like we went under our earnings. You could just tell your friends, like, short our stock.
Tony, I think that if we had more tangible life experience and interest, we would write more interesting things. Like, because that's so interesting, and like that's would be such a great comedy. But it's kind of like, yeah, the comedies that I can write are, it's only going to ever be kind of about like an improviser, because it's like that's all I know. Or just like a gay guy who doesn't have a job.
Yeah.
It's like, okay, like, can we get him into some sort of believable work environment, please?
No, every script I've ever thought of is like, what about the drama of a sketch team?
Yeah.
Tony.
No, that's not relatable. That's nothing.
They say, write what you know, and then you're like, what if I don't know anything good?
Yes.
Like, I want a Workaholics reboot. Like, I want a modern work show, whether it's the office. I think there actually is an Office reboot, but I don't really mean that. Like, I kind of mean like a New York City office place with like where everyone's kind of there for different reasons and has nothing in common, blah, blah, blah.
And insider training is happening?
Yes. Well, it kind of reminds me of The Girlfriend. Well, no, it's so irrelevant. I was going to put too much of a wrench in the conversation. But I think that does sound like an interesting show that you should write, and I'll be in it.
Okay,
I'll be the HR guy. You know it's going to be a gay guy in HR, right?
What did you say last night? It was some.
No, they didn't like that.
I thought it was so funny.
Oh, yeah. Well, he liked it. They didn't like it.
What did you... You said something about...
Trying to say that the Electoral College is homophobic and that if you have a town, you are basically incentivizing small towns to be bad to gay people because when they leave, they don't get to really take their vote with them. Because like when you move to New York, your vote no longer counts. But if you live in the middle of nowhere... And then I have a list of reasons of why your town could be not good for gay guy. And I said... And the last one is work opportunities. Like if there's not... a tech company and want of an HR generalist, gay guy's gonna have to go forge a better life for him and his chosen family.
An HR generalist is so funny.
Yeah, it was a good joke.
Thank
Sometimes
you.
People are wrong.
Yeah.
People didn't like that?
They were, no, I think they liked it middle.
Okay.
The tag that I always want to work, but never does, it's not even a tag, it's actually pretty much just a joke, is because it's literally in the sentence, is that like when my family left Ireland because they couldn't get a tan or something like that. I think like I love that, but like no one has ever liked it except for Nico.
Maybe you should do something set in the Irish famine with a gay guy who's trying to get a tan, trying to get the fuck out of there.
Wait, that's
the character's secret. They want to have a tan.
There's no potatoes. Or you bay.
Wait. And they're like, what unspeakable fucking
the real Irish troubles?
Is this Irish guy have? Yeah, my troubles. Not getting a tan, having a speech impediment.
I'm obsessed with that. This always has been a writer's room. That it reminds me of that Aubrey Plaza movie, The Little Hours. Do you know The Little Hours?
Uh-uh.
Everyone should watch The Little Hours. They're like nuns, and it's like Molly Shannon and Aubrey Plaza and Alison Brie.
Wait, that's great.
It's so funny. I watched it one time with a guy I loved. But anyway, but you guys should totally watch it. And it is really funny.
Oh, that's good. Okay, so you were never drawn to the Yankees. You were always a Mets guy.
Yes.
Always
an
underdog guy. Are you a Giants fan?
Yeah.
Yeah, me too, and it's unfortunate this season.
Although, I kind of like Daniel Jones.
Really?
Yeah.
Hot take.
I don't think he's that bad.
Dang. See,
owns them?
No. He's the quarterback.
I'm going to hold you guys back.
He's the quarterback. No, this is good, because I think most of our listeners... I think our listeners are split on what they know about sports.
But although owner is kind of a crazy guess.
Yeah.
Because you could assume player.
That does make sense. But but it's interesting for any person to be given such a value on a team. Like Travis Kelce, wouldn't you imagine he's something other than a tight end?
Yes.
That's the most irrelevant. I know it's the most irrelevant because when I was drafting for fantasy football, that would always be what you would draft last because the reward of it is relatively low.
That's absolutely right.
Okay, so I'm a fucking genius. Yes.
Wait, why?
Why does
a tight end have a low reward? I feel like they get a lot of like small receptions and touchdowns.
Not in fantasy football.
Yeah, they just don't really have that many yards or catches.
Gotcha.
Other positions.
Gotcha.
Unless
you're
one of the top guys like Travis Kelce.
Yeah, whereas like if you can kind of like, you got to think you want a couple of running backs, you got to wide receivers, you're with further bye weeks, you're going to want someone good on the bench to
I've
throw
been
in there.
I'm more impressed by you, I'll be honest.
I'm very
impressed, I won in 06.
Yeah, he won in fantasy football.
2006.
I don't know anyone doing fantasy football in 06.
Yeah, my name.
That's like the early years.
I was
on paper.
I was
a punch card.
I was called the con artists, like con artists.
Love.
Yeah, and my grandfather was like, I think you know more than you lead on.
So you were the con artist.
You were in a
died.
Fantasy league with your grandpa.
No, he wasn't in it. He was just like around. And it's like, no, I don't really know very much. But also like they are ranked players. The players are pretty ranked.
Yeah, they tell you who's good.
Yeah, which is helpful.
Yeah.
Wait, so you grew up, Daniel Jones, do you think he's that bad? You like him?
He is the current quarterback for the Giants. He went to Duke. And they drafted him, and I thought that I found that to be an unwise choice personally because I think he just has resting bitch face, and not in like a like resting little bitch face. Like he just always looks like he's whining and about to throw an interception.
Yeah, that's kind of been the thing with Giants quarterbacks.
I was gonna say Eli Manning looked like that too, but then somehow stumbled into 2 Super Bowl wins. So you gotta love him.
They just all look so dumb and stupid all the time. And it's like, you can't be 6'6 quarterback, like in football shape. Like, the guy is very handsome.
Yeah.
But no matter, whenever the camera's on him, he looks like the dumbest guy.
He's always like, oh, I'm about to throw an interception. Like, that's how he looks every time.
Oh, my God, I go into Google the guy.
Yeah. Daniel
Jones. Can I Google him?
Yes. Sure, yeah. And my mom's side of the family are big Giants fans. So my grandfather was a huge Giants fan. And we're always like, if he wasn't already dead, this would kill him. Daniel Jones would kill him. But
yeah, he gets hated on more than almost any other player I've ever seen.
I know he does get a lot of hate, and I don't want
to. Makes me root for him.
Yeah, and Daniel, if you're listening,
you got a nice jaw. If you're listening,
yeah,
you got a nice jaw and a strong chin.
Yeah,
yeah. I just was always like, Duke isn't known for their football. Why the fuck are we taking their quarterback?
Your nose is weak.
Okay, Daniel, if you're listening, we have other pointers for you. should we get into some boys clubs?
So, what do you think is a boys club that you are not a part of?
Okay, so I thought about this a lot. And I was like, should I go vulnerable? Should I go real? But I decided not to do that. I thought that'd be a bad idea. I would love to be a guy who eats breakfast. That's what
I love that.
I just started eating breakfast.
Really?
I'm really into overnight oats.
Okay, what made you start this?
Well, I went to see a psychiatrist who was like, you have to heal your chi gut. And then so I like kind of like went on this journey to find things that weren't just protein bars to eat. And I ended up with like overnight oats and avocado, blah, 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 blah. And now I eat overnight oats like 6 times a day. Fuck, it's never moderation, but it's still okay,
but like 6 times a day is a lot.
It's always like, it's always.
That's too much, Connor.
It's you can take.
It's not overnight oats, it's all day it's oats. 24/7 oats.
They require a lot of prep work too, right? Like you have to like.
Well, here's
them.
The thing. So can I show them to you?
Wait, will this travel?
It won't. I'm thrilled to see this, though.
Yeah, oh. Me too.
Oh, so they're like, they're little cups of them, already made?
Yes, I have. Okay, so here's
that's just not enough. Those are small.
Wait, you say that, but like, you can like. But like, honestly, they're really dense in there. So like, these ones are called Mush, and this is this company of overnight oats based in Chicago that a bunch of people left RX Bar by choice. Those people I got pushed out, but to go work at it. And then these ones are Trader Joe's brand pumpkin spice, which I also love.
Oh, cute.
Yeah, so they just, like, make them for you.
Okay, so you don't have to do any prep work.
No, because I texted my brother, and I was like, what's your recipe for overnight oats? And he sent back, like, so many instructions that I was like, okay, so I'm going to go buy these. I'm not doing that.
So what is your relationship to breakfast?
I can't eat breakfast without, like, ruining my whole day.
Okay.
Like, I don't know how anyone's, like, waking up and eating, like, eggs and bacon and hash browns.
Who are these people?
I feel like...
There's people.
Everyone on TV is certainly eating a big breakfast all the time.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And I feel like the culture is like, oh, well, before you go to work, have a breakfast. Like, even a protein bar.
Yeah.
No, I can't do that. I'll be sick. I'll be sick to my stomach.
Dang.
Wait, that's so you don't eat until lunch?
Yeah, I'll usually not eat until like 1 or 2 or 3. I try to do one meal sometimes, but I know that's not good.
One meal all day?
Yeah.
That's called the caveman diet. Because the caveman would be like, he stumbled upon a boar, hadn't eaten for days, found a boar in the woods. I guess he killed the boar.
He didn't stumble upon a dead boar.
Yeah. It's not like someone did it for him.
They didn't package up the overnight oats for him like that.
Yeah.
Okay, so do you drink like coffee or anything? Like, are you doing that? Okay.
I know I seem kind of like laid back and low energy, but the amount of caffeine I have would shock you.
I don't think you seem low energy.
Really? Thank you.
You seem very alert.
Well, because I have a ton of caffeine in my system. I'm zipped to hell right now.
Are you doing coffee? Are you doing Celsius? Like, what's your go-to?
I used to do Celsius. I don't like how it tastes, though. It tastes too fake.
It is very, like, I've only had one. I actually had half of one. Mm-hmm. I had to stay up late for a shoot, and so I was like, I was feeling a little tired. So I was like, all right, I'll try half of this. But I knew going in, I was like, I shouldn't have a whole one because these things are, like, packed with caffeine.
Yeah, they're kind of crazy.
They're kind of crazy. But it tasted like almost like a Ford Loco or something. Like, it had, like, a weird, like, yeah, like, synthetic-y taste to it. Like, you could taste that it's like fake sugar or whatever. And then I was up till 5 a.m. I was up so late. I didn't even have the full one. It was horrible. But anyway.
No, it'll get you. But like, I could drink a Celsius at 11:30 p.m. and go to bed. it does not. I am dependent on it.
Yeah. So now you're into coffee instead? Or
sometimes coffee. I've actually started taking caffeine pills sometimes.
Oh my gosh.
Oh my God. Did you watch Saved by the Bell?
Yes. I didn't know they made those.
Do you remember the episode where Jesse is like abusing caffeine pills? And then she's like, I need my pills. and then the hot guy is like, Jesse, look at yourself. Like, I'm gonna send this
to you. Please send it to me.
Boys, we will not link to the show notes, but we'll send you Google search terms.
What about a smoothie? Would you do a smoothie? Another like liquid?
But that wouldn't caffeinate me at all. Oh, just for breakfast.
For breakfast.
No, I'm not going to put the work in. I'm just, I have a hard time being productive in the morning.
Yeah, me too.
What time does your job start?
9:30.
That's really hard.
Yeah.
That's not that bad.
But if you want to make breakfast, if you're commuting, you got to get up by like 7. You got to make the breakfast. You got to eat the breakfast. You got to get ready for work. You got to go. Like, it does end up adding up. The time really adds up.
But here's the thing. I work from home every single day. So if I could wake up at 9:15 for like a 9:30 start,
yeah,
I should be able to have breakfast.
Yeah.
But I can't do it.
Okay, so this one time I went to the gym really early because I had to catch an airplane, and I was like walking back from the gym at like 7:30, and there were like all these dads taking their kids to work in this way where I was like, oh, the world is moving in the morning. Like, families are fucking moving, but since we're all like 20-something, whatever, like without kids, I feel like we're like not, and we're just like bumming around. Not bumming around, we're working, but like we're working, but like we kind of like have more time to vibe.
No, I totally agree. I feel like I'm not participating in the world the same way a normal adult should be.
Yes, I feel that too sometimes.
Yeah. There is something I was just thinking about this, like, I don't know, like to your point, being in your 20s and being like, not married and no kids, no dependents, having like these ambitions of a creative career, like allows you to sort of indulge in a specific lifestyle that is sort of not grounded into any responsibility or reality that a lot of people are living under. Yeah. Which does leave us time for breakfast, but it can still be hard.
I know if anyone's making breakfast, it should be us.
I also have
or
the battle.
Could be us.
I have this battle with breakfast too, because I've been better about eating it, but I get so anxious in the morning. It's helped since I started taking Lexapro. I'm honestly not as anxious in the morning as I used to be, but I would wake up and I would just be like, if I didn't start 20 minutes ago, I'm already behind. Like, I'm already late. I'm already a loser. Like, I already haven't done enough today because I like slept in too much or whatever. And so then, like, on top of that, if like breakfast is taking too long to make, I'm like, oh, now it's been an hour and I can't do this. So I would like try to find the quickest thing I could make. So sometimes I'll do a smoothie. Sometimes I'll do toast. You know what I've been liking?
What?
The frozen, Trader Joe's has a frozen pumpkin waffles. You just put them in the toaster, put a little butter on that. Sometimes they have some of the good protein in them. It's pretty good.
I have those from last year in my freezer. You think they're so good?
No, I think they last. Yeah. Frozen stuff lasts.
That's true. Check on that.
Maybe I'll eat them.
Yeah. If nothing else, throw them in your ice cream maker and see what happens.
I know. I'll make you a smoothie in the morning.
Okay, thank you.
Shoshana's going to be like, no. You will not do that.
if you are out, like, let's say if you're going out to breakfast or something like that, do you enjoy that?
No. I don't like being social before a certain time.
Sure, yeah.
Like, I feel like it takes a lot of work for me to feel presentable and just to look normal. So I don't like the idea of when people are like, oh, after a late night drinking, which already I feel like bloated, look terrible, tired. Then going out at like 8:39 for like a breakfast.
You're a night guy.
That's too early.
No, not really. I operate between 12 and 10.
Interesting.
The day in the afternoon.
I don't believe in breakfast as a social time either. Yeah. Like when people, I'm not into that. I don't like eggs. I don't like pancakes. I don't like any of those foods. I don't like brunch and I don't like any of that situation. Mm. Brunch is bad. And that's just another gay thing that I don't do. So that kind of adds to my liminality in the space.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, not to be against both of you, but I do love breakfast, and I love a breakfast hang. Not at 8 a.m., but if it was at, like, 11.
Yeah, I said 8 a.m. I've never done that in my life. That's not an experience I've had.
You
but
used
yeah,
to say
like
we
11.
Would go to the diner that you live near, but
we should
never
go.
Have.
We should go.
I'll take you there for your birthday.
Oh, my gosh, that'd be so sweet.
I was going to take you to the movies for your birthday, but when would we do that?
Whenever.
Do you want to go to the movies?
Maddie did get me a spa package on my birthday, so I'm going to go get a massage.
Oh, that's nice.
Which I'm pretty excited about.
And it's
about.
On the 14th, not the 13th.
The 14th, yeah.
I always confuse everyone's birthdays.
That's okay.
Because the 13th is my cousin and the guy that I used to love and also Damien. Yep. And then the 14th is you.
Yep.
Okay.
Okay, so you don't like eggs. Do you like breakfast food?
Yeah.
Okay, so
That's my struggle.
That's the struggle.
That's my core struggle as a person.
If somebody else was making the food for you, do you think? No, that's not.
No.
It's just the stomach pain.
Yeah, and just like how lethargic it makes me feel.
Sure, yeah. It makes you like feel like you're falling back asleep.
Yeah.
Yeah, I started drinking coffee in college because I like never really drank it before because I was always worried about it stunting my growth. I was very nervous about that. So I like never had it as a kid. I was like, anything that could possibly stunt my already short stature is not for me. So I started drinking it though because we would have 7 a.m. practice and then we would have 10 o'clock lift or whatever time, 9 o'clock lift. And then
morning.
Mm-hmm, and then we would go at 10 o'clock to the dining hall, and we would just fucking load up with eggs and bacon and
when
potatoes.
When did you go to school?
And then I would go to class at 11.
Ever, you never had a morning class?
I would never, like, I had a couple, like, 9:30s, but it would only be if we had, like, no, because practice was at 7, so we could always go to morning classes, yeah.
Oh, wow.
But sometimes you couldn't do, like, at 8 a.m. or something, but whatever. We had practice, so it's, like, a different thing. But anyway, then I would eat this huge breakfast, and then I would go to my bio lecture, and I would fucking fall asleep every time, because it would just, like, put me right to bed, so I had to start drinking coffee.
But that's also, like, a full day you've had
yeah.
before your class.
Yeah.
Why were you taking bio?
Because I was pre-med for a second.
You never told me that.
I was pre-med till my sophomore spring, and then I changed to English.
You hid that part.
I didn't mean to, but I was. I did not know who I was at the time in any capacity. I was just like, I don't know what I want to do after college. I don't know anything about myself other than I play soccer. And I was like, my parents are doctors. Maybe I'll do that. And it seemed like a straightforward thing. And it was like, this is a definite thing that has a plan. And you just do this. And you go to this school. And you do these hours. And then you're a doctor. And there's like not much. And I knew I could like will myself into doing something like that. But I was so disinterested in it. So
what's so crazy is like, that was more or less how I did feel about acting. It's not that I was disinterested. But to me, I was like, this is a very clear path. I'm going to be an actor. And there was nothing more challenging than be like, I'm actually an English major. And that's the bravest thing you can be. The bravest thing is to leave the BFA to be an English major.
To just get a BA.
Because no one even cares about that. But I'll tell you something about the people that were acting majors. You don't know who they are. You know what I mean? So, all good.
It's also just not a clear path.
Yeah.
Like, no I can't think path. Of a muddier path.
Yeah, than the one we're currently
totally.
On.
I mean, Liz Boss.
So true. So
yeah.
True.
Undate yourself instead. Uh-huh. She was like, I forget what she says. She's like, she has a whole episode dedicated to how it feels to prove people wrong. It's called Proving People Wrong is the mm-hmm. episode. And then it's literally like 30 minutes of being like her like reading quotes and be like, when you prove people wrong, it like does X, Y, Z. Cause I think like she's like, when I started this, no one told me that I could be a podcaster. When I started this, everyone would laugh at what I would do in college. Everyone like laughed at me. And now she does this. And I was like, oh my God, like kind of slay. Like that's crazy, but also slay.
Do we think Liz Boss drinks, has breakfast?
Yes.
For sure.
The girls eat breakfast. It's going to be like, yes. It's like one of those like gut health.
It's the most important
breakfast.
Meal of the day.
I say that with a kombucha literally like strapped to me like a Glock. Like a Glock.
Like a fucking Glock. He's packing. Double booch.
I don't know what a Glock is. And I think that's the best part about me is that like I don't want to know. Yes. I bet my dad wouldn't know either.
You know.
I know it's a gun.
Okay, great.
But I couldn't pick it
that's
from.
That's all we all know.
Yeah.
I think that people.
If a Glock was on the table, I wouldn't know it either. Like I wouldn't know, oh, that's a Glock.
Yeah.
I've got a Glock in my Rari.
1738.
And I said it in my voice. And then, okay, that's very interesting. I'm going to Google Glock after this. Yeah. I feel like it's a type of gun.
Yes,
it
but
is.
That's
you're right.
As much as we all know.
Yeah.
No one knows more than you.
If any of us were to have a gun, it would be the little pistol, like in the 1950s woman.
Yeah.
Pistol. Pew. Get out of my house right now. Get out, Jeremy. I said Jeremy. We all know a Jeremy. Get out, David. We don't know a David.
Other than my dad.
You're kidding.
Yeah.
He's not giving David at all.
Oh my gosh. My little, I coach 6 to 8 year old girls right now. And they just realized, they just must have learned of the term ex-girlfriend because they keep asking me who my girlfriend is and who my ex-girlfriends are. And I'm like, well, we're not getting into this. And
they can tell you have a history.
They want to know. And then yesterday they were
well,
like,
you could tell them.
It's
probably a safe
show them
space.
The boys club's DMs.
Well, it's funny because you know one of my exes is non-binary, and one of my exes came out as a trans guy as well. And so technically, I have I've got all three genders in my exes. I have an ex-girlfriend, an ex. Some a guy
that's the LGBTQ
and, yeah and so I was like I can't confuse them with all this information but so I just said I have anyway but then they also were asking me for my parents' names and I was like my dad's name is David and they were like what they thought that was so weird I was like that's a very standard name
I love that people are like oh gay people are gonna teach kids about gay people it's like we couldn't have we tried it's too confusing we don't even understand it ourselves
it's like I don't know how to break this down for them I'm just not gonna okay, so well, I hope for both of you that we find a way to love breakfast, because I want you guys to enjoy these oats all day every day.
You would love these oats.
I think I would, but I would like it as a snack at 4 p.m.
Mm.
Okay, truthfully, I love to eat in the second half of the day. Mm-hmm. But I realize that I sleep better when I don't eat all my food in the second. Either way, I said that was weird and structured. You get it? When then I don't eat all my food, my rations, which is more or less
rations.
When I don't eat my the food that I am that I get to eat in the
that
second
half.
Yeah. Yeah. When shit hits the fan and the government is allocating us resources, like rations, you're going to be fine. You're going to be fucking fine.
I was like, I've been living like this my whole life. I was like, I've fucking been training for this.
That's like Lisa Traeger has that great joke where she's like, well, if we have to be put in work camps, like, what if I'm still annoying in the camps?
Yes, that's so funny.
What if I'm still trying to gossip in the camps? All right, should we do our next boys club?
So my question for you is, what do you feel like is a boys club that you are a part of?
Okay, I don't want to talk about sports this whole time.
No, Tony, you get to.
Okay, well, you gave me permission, so I'm going to. I feel like I can make like a rec league basketball game happen within 30 minutes.
Oh,
no matter
God.
When and where I am.
You're well connected.
I
mean, in terms of
that.
This one specific thing, I feel like I could get like 8 guys outside on a basketball court.
Wait, can we like, who are these guys?
It's a mix. College friends, high school friends, some comics that I know that play, that you could just, I can make it happen.
I love that. I feel like that is one of the, I was just thinking about this and in general, thinking about the way that men and women are like kind of conditioned to socialize. And specifically, typically straight people too, that I feel like guys are good about getting like group activities like that together. Like girls do too, but they like, I feel like they're really good at like one-on-one hangs and like smaller groups or whatever. But then like guys will be like, let's get 16 dudes together and do a tournament. Like that feels like a different.
Yeah. If I had a one-on-one hang with one of my closest friends, it would be miserable. Like if we couldn't do it. If you saw my text history with some of these friends, it would just be like basketball. Basketball.
Do you know a lot
great.
About them?
Basketball.
And they're married. Some of them are
some
married.
Some of them are married.
Oh shit!
Yeah.
And they live in New York.
Yeah.
What's their age?
Like 28, my age.
He jumps
that.
Out the window.
So when you get these guys together to play basketball, what are the are you typically trying to like get a pretty serious game going? Is it like is it kind of low stakes?
I mean, I like to play as seriously as possible.
Yeah.
That being said, I never exercise and I don't take care of myself at all. So, like, it could only be so serious for, like, 2 minutes, like, 5 minutes before everyone is just winded and gassed.
Yeah.
Because no one is, like, playing in any serious way.
Are you doing full court? Are you doing half court?
Half.
Yeah.
Always half. Anytime anyone suggests full court, it's like, you're sick. Come on.
I also feel like a thing that straight guys are good at is, like, if there are people at the park already playing, like, jumping in on a pickup game.
Yeah. I think it's, like, one of the most friendly, welcoming environments, actually.
Yeah. I always see guys, like, in the park. I don't know. It always seems like just a hodgepodge of random dudes.
You could just go by yourself. And as long as you, like, loiter around, someone would be like, you want to play with us? You want to get in our game?
Yeah.
I heard a movie. Sweet. That's going to be a movie. But it's a crime movie.
You know what movie?
He's a killer.
He's insider trading.
He's an insider trader killer, yeah.
He's organizing rec league. He's insider trading.
That's interesting.
Did you ever see the, I forget what it was called, but Adam Sandler came out with a movie like maybe a year or two ago where he like is coaching like a...
I did watch it, actually.
I heard it was good.
It was fine. It's like... a whole movie that was like a montage of someone playing basketball.
Sure. I feel like I would it would be a really cool experience to get to play pickup with him.
Oh yeah, I've heard he's actually very good.
I that's what I've heard too. And any clips of him I've seen, I mean, he is absolutely like just like great vision on the court, slinging passes, jump shots. He's like really good. He like apparently always brings like a basketball court to set. Or a basketball hoop to set and like plays on like when they're like on break.
Guys, I hope you don't mind. I brought something.
They're like, Adam, you're sweaty.
How do you feel that your mastery of soccer translates to basketball?
I played basketball too.
Oh.
I played basketball through high school. So I'm okay at basketball. I was not a great shooter when I was in high school because I was pretty small. I wasn't really that very strong. So it was kind of, I had good form from closer range, but I was a point guard. So like I wasn't like a good 3-point shooter. Just because I didn't really have the range. But I was a good passer, good defender, could make layups pretty consistently. You'd be surprised how many people in high school basketball don't consistently make layups.
There's something so funny to me about how you athletes have data-driven proof to show your success, where it's like, well, I was the lead in fame, and I can do an Irish brogue, and...
Tony, did you play basketball in school at all, or were you like in the theater stuff, or what was your...
Neither.
Cool.
I hit puberty pretty late, like junior of high school.
Oh my God.
So I kind of got just like sized out of like playing sports.
What did you do instead?
Yeah.
Oh, You have to cut this.
Okay, we will.
My sister was the conductor of the marching band. So those 2 years, she was like, oh, just come join the marching band. And I was like, I don't even like play an instrument, really. So I just, it was the most miserable 2 years.
What did you hold?
The trombone.
I held the trombone. We have to cut this? Are you
we
sure?
We don't have to cut it. No,
wait, can we keep
we
it?
We connected. We can keep it.
Wait, I held the trombone and it was the hardest year of my life.
Yes, it was
No
terrible.
One told me about the spit valve until the last day. You didn't know about that either?
I knew about it, but I was never ready for it.
Like, yeah. Oh my God. It's so gnarly.
Especially if you're like marching around, like you're like hold it up and it's like just draining back down.
Oh my God.
It's so disgusting.
That's gross.
No one ever taught me how to make a note. Do you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like I get that the guy next to me's arm was moving. I believe him. And like it would move mine too. But it's like, what? I just burped. Like on piano, you're like, oh, this note corresponds to this key. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. What is that on trombone? I still don't know.
Yeah. Well,
yeah. To be honest, after about a couple weeks, I was like, I'm done with this. I would just fake it every single performance.
Of course.
Yes.
But I definitely did a solo at the Christmas concert, and I definitely did one. That's the thing with trombone is it's kind of like the ceiling of how pretty it's going to be is really low.
I also feel like the trombone, it reminds me of the fucking seagull from The Little Mermaid who's like, wah, 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 like can't sing, squawking away. I played the trumpet in our middle school band.
See, the trumpet's cool.
And that always seemed, to your point, like a little bit more intuitive. There's three buttons. That's it. Du-du-du-du. And it was like no press, one, two, or three, or a combination of those. Very simple for the notes for the most part. But I was always confused by the trombone because I'm like, how do y'all know when to stop? Yeah. How do you know where exactly on the slide it should be?
It's so inexact. Nah.
It's like, come and meet those dancing feet.
My sister Soph, shout out, who is works in fashion, tall, beautiful woman who
so pretty.
Who was the only girl in a section of all trombones in the band, all these boys and her, and she just like they would all be in like the for the like end of year like Christmas show or whatever. The boys would be in like their rumpy suits playing the trombone, and she looks gorgeous up there, like taller than all of them in her heels with her trombone, and it was just always the funniest like dissonance there because it feels like such a boyish instrument in a way.
It's certainly a sloppy instrument. Yeah, like anyone who's playing the trombone, sorry.
No offense again.
Like, get this kid something else. Like, totally. Get this kid out of here.
And it smells like tin, and then you smell like tin because you've been holding it to your face.
Yeah. No, I definitely also was not. I mean, I knew where the spit valve was, but also, so there were two types of spit valves on the trumpet. There was one that was like a button you would press in, and there was one that was like a latch you would open. And the latch was like a nicer one. I always liked that one better because it would like easily do it, but the button would get stuck a lot, and so it would just like build up over time. Ew. And then I would have to like smack it to get it. Was just a nightmare. So it's pretty gross to be a middle schooler playing an instrument of a brass instrument.
And it's like, who's this for? I think that if I came 12 years later, I would have been the singer-songwriter. Because I think I would have learned piano. Like that I would have, I started piano lessons literally in like first grade. Mm-hmm. And I just never, I would always, it would be like once a year I'd have to play the recital. So every year I would like really focus on learning one thing for the recital at the bare minimum. Just to like be like, this is like, look mom, I did it. Mm-hmm. I learned how to play this one fucking song. And I just never got good. And it's like, well, you could have been Michelle Branch. You could have been, I have so many feelings.
Yeah.
I could have been Michelle Branch.
And instead, you're a podcaster.
Instead, instead, I had to do a solo show where I had to be like, being gay was really hard, but if I was a singer-songwriter, I would have had to be up here. I would have been able to put it in my music. Disaster.
Oh, my God. So you didn't play in high school, but did you like play like on the side with friends and
all
stuff?
All the time.
At like a league? Okay, cool.
Yeah. There's something about like when your parents are getting divorced, you learn how to shoot a three.
Yeah.
Like I could shoot a three. I would spend all my time just like...
Outside.
I'm not very fast or athletic or big, but... I could always hold my own.
5'10"?
Thank you. Yes, 5'10". No, I'm like 5'9".
Your energy is 5'10".
Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you.
I wouldn't know you're 5'9".
Okay,
either.
Great.
Yeah. But you can shoot a good three.
Yeah, so that's like kind of one skill I always had where I could just kind of play with almost anybody because I'd be the best shooter on the court 99% of the time.
Mm. That's amazing. Yeah.
So it's like I could just kind of lumber around and jack up like 6'3".
Yeah. That's good. The guys I went to high school with, they would do this, like, the ones who didn't play on our actual basketball team would do this. They had this, there was a boy, there was a It was not a boys and girls club. It was called the Boys Club. The only boys were allowed to play there for whatever reason. To this day, I think it still exists. And they would have like just like rec leagues, like all the way through like K through 12. And so they played in like the U18 like rec league there, and they were called the Air Ballers. We would go to their games sometimes, but I always thought that was fun that they like found, because I never knew like how to. I don't know. The only activities I did were like through school. Like sport. I mean, I did club soccer outside of it, but I was always like, that's fun that they just like do it for fun. Like, I don't know. I just like didn't do enough like that in high school, I don't think.
There was like a real culture at my school of like after school, if you were didn't like weren't in a program or anything, you would just walk to the park that was 20 minutes away. And then there would be like 40 guys playing pickup basketball.
That's so fun.
Every single day. It was great.
That's amazing. Yeah, I envy, like, I don't know, I always like the camaraderie of, like, the, I don't know, the non-organized, like, pickup sports are just, like, it's always very fun. I really enjoy that.
They would get too intense, of course.
Yeah, yeah. That's where the problems come in, is that there's no ref, and a lot of hot tempers, and yeah.
Do you ever play pickup soccer?
No, I never played soccer, so it's just not something I gravitate to still, like, because I don't think I could play well.
It's hard.
Yeah. Do you ever play?
No. Yeah. I played in middle school.
You played basketball at my grandparents' farm.
Yeah, it's the hardest I ever did.
No, you were great.
Nico.
You were great.
You gotta raise the bar. Nico. I did not do good.
My grandparents have a hay farm in upstate New York that they've had for what I guess my grandfather apparently this year put in his millionth bale of hay in his life. He started on the farm at 15 and now he's 80. He's put in a million bales of hay. It's pretty crazy.
This is such a dumb question. What is the purpose of hay?
So they usually sell it to big farms with like horses or cows because they eat that.
Okay.
It's typically food. I think sometimes I typically think it's horse feed mostly. So I think they sell it to like big farms that like feed animals for like or like I guess cow farms that are like making like Angus and things like that, beef and whatnot. But anyway, they have this like little side shed where they keep where they in the winter they put these like hay equipment, but in the summer it's out because it's being in use. So they put this basketball hoop in there, and it's like a big open like garage essentially. So it's like a fun like basketball court. And so Connor came up when we were upstate, and we played, and I thought you were great.
Thank you.
You're very mobile. He's like a wasp out there. You know, very.
I'm anxious.
Yeah, you're just always moving, which is good. A lot of people stand, and not this guy.
The opposite.
Not this guy.
Like a
always
moth
moving.
To a flame.
Listen, you know, a lot of times I'm yelling at the kids, stop standing, keep moving, pass and move. We never tell you that.
I kind of was like, if you can just like kind of watch Soph and be in on Soph, then what can she do?
Exactly.
And she did a lot, but
you guys are a great match for each other, though.
Yeah.
Because you both kind of just wildly throw. The other thing that's good about their basketball hoop is that it's so old that if you hit the backboard, that thing's going in. You know, it's just like the.
It's so soft.
It's taking everything out of the shot. Just right in every time. But that's awesome. I love that you have the. So are you like usually the coordinator of the basketball games, or are you typically the organizer?
I could do it. I don't do it. I don't want to put the work in to like. Get all these groups of guys together who don't know each other.
Yeah.
Like I could, it would be fun, but I'm so tired.
Yeah.
No, totally.
I just want to relax.
It's also
you've
like,
earned that.
Sometimes it's kind of hell to be like the one person that everybody knows.
Yeah.
In certain situations, it's kind of, like if it's a small group, it's like, oh, it's four of us and you all know me, you don't know each other. It's like, okay, I'm kind of in control right now. But if it's a bigger thing, it's like, ugh, now I'm in trouble. I mean, I'm in charge of like coordinating. Sucks.
It's also like I don't want to cross-pollinate friend groups really, because if two guys like really like hit it off, it's like, now what is this? Like, now is like this gonna be a thing that happens?
Yeah. Does Samuel play basketball?
Yeah, Sam can play.
Yeah,
interesting.
Yeah, I've played with Sam before.
Yeah.
Oh, you have? Oh, that's great. We should start a podcast with him. That's so cool.
Do you want to? I played basketball with you too. Okay. I'd argue in a more intimate setting.
Yeah, your home. Okay. Your family's home. Of 80 years, maybe more.
Yeah, more.
I think more. Yeah. Because whenever I meet anyone, can I say where your family's farm is?
Yeah.
Are you sure?
Yeah.
You have to cut it?
No, please.
Whenever anyone is out, like upstate New York, I'm like, well, do you know Herkimer?
And,
you
and know they what? Usually say no.
They usually don't. And then I think, well, you don't know.
It's a town of 7,000 people and dwindling, I think.
It's kind of like, oh, well, you don't understand my intimate connection to that area, yeah, and that's fine.
Wait, also, you said 1,000,000th bale of hay?
Mm-hmm.
There's no way they counted.
Well, he's quite OCD, and so I think he has.
My brain started to spiral, because then I was thinking about, like, oh, like, bale 309,012 was so specific, and that's a whole bale that he did.
Well, yeah. I mean, well, because he, like, keeps track in, like, the accounting purposes for, like, selling it, because, you know, they have to, like, say how much they're selling to each thing. So I guess he's keeping track in that way somewhere. So somehow he knows how many exactly. And yeah, there's been 1,000,000 that he's put in, himself. I don't know.
That's incredible.
It's pretty crazy. Yeah.
Is farm fraud a thing that could happen?
Definitely. I think there's probably... I mean, I'm trying to think in ways you would be able to... I mean, like, maybe selling, like, fake stuff or, like, I don't know, screwing people on deals or taking land or using land that's not actually yours. I guess that kind of fraud could happen.
Okay, good. I'm sourcing stuff for the pilot I'm going
to write. Yeah. I bet... So I saw one episode of Farmer Wants a Wife. Are we familiar?
No.
So this is a Fox dating show. It's called Farmer Wants a Wife, and it's about... It's like... Four farmers and four city girls are going on dates, and it's like these like city girls who are like ready to settle down with a farmer. But something I realized in this is that like farming is a very expansive like in terms of income. Like there's some like big farmers who have these like, you know, like massive farms that like, you know, have like all the chicken that goes to Tyson or something like that.
Ugh.
You know what I mean? They make bazillions of dollars.
I visited one of those in college.
Yeah.
Because I took a farming class.
And it's a lot of chicken.
It was, I didn't eat chicken for like 2 days.
I'm sure.
It was kind of jarring.
Yeah.
Was that part of acting or English?
Liberal arts.
Okay.
The liberal arts. I got my science credit via farming.
Okay. Yeah. Is that before or after astrology?
You had to get 8 credits. I got 4 through astrology, astronomy.
Astronomy, my bad.
Astronomy taught by Claudine Moreau, who was getting a divorce and is an erotic poet, and all good. But I got a C for charm, even though I actually got an F. But you go.
Wait, you got an F?
Oh, I failed. No, I got a C, though. She gave me a C.
Wow.
And I'm not trying to be, like, all, like, privileged, but, like, I just think, like, if you're a certain level of charming, people will kind of just, like, let you pass.
Yeah.
Or sad. Like, there were certainly finance classes where I just didn't go at all and then failed.
Yeah.
And I was like, come on. I really need this. And they're like, okay.
See, that's, like, the NF in you. You're an intuitive feeler. I think you can connect with people on a deeper level, kind of, like... You like, honestly, like, you turned me on to the Mets because of just the story of it all. Like, it was, I love an underdog.
I honestly did a bad job telling the story.
Like, Rudy is a movie that also pertains to the Mets and you in college. It's all of it.
Yeah. I always love that movie. One thing that I've been trying to tell a joke on stage about Rudy for the longest time because it just makes me laugh that Rudy couldn't get in because he wasn't good enough at football to Notre Dame. Couldn't get into Notre Dame because he was not good enough at football. He didn't have the academics for it, nor did he have the money. So there was no way of Rudy getting in. And the whole thing ends with Rudy being on the football team. He doesn't make the winning play. It's 21-3 or something like that, that Notre Dame is winning in the fourth quarter. People are leaving the stadium at this point, and Rudy gets out and makes a tackle, and, like, that's it. I was like, this is such an anticlimactic movie.
Congratulations, you got 5 people to go to Broadway Comedy Club. You did a show. It's a bringer. Get over yourself.
Literally,
that's for insider listeners.
To your point, we have to raise the standards.
We've got to raise the standards.
It felt like the point I was trying to make is it feels like a very Catholic narrative to me because it's kind of like, what, you think you're not good? You think you're too good for just making a hard defensive play? You think that's not what we should be celebrating? You know what I mean? That feels very like
Google
Catholic
hard defensive play.
I've watched 1,000,000 football games in my life. I've never clocked once who's made the tackle.
Yeah.
Like, half the crowd would not even notice it was him.
Exactly. And again, like I said, they're up 21-3. It's the fourth quarter. People are leaving. They've been gone. Like, it's over.
Why wouldn't they just rewrite the movie to make it more interesting?
Because it's a Catholic film.
Oh.
It's not about that. It's not about being flashy. It's about being a team player.
So it feels like we're taking the wrong message from Rudy. Or maybe we were taking the right message from Rudy. Or it sounds like the masses have taken the wrong message.
What do you think the masses are taking from it?
Underdogs can rise.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think it's underdogs can rise to be just a good player. Like, just a good team player.
My dad's like that. I feel like my dad, sometimes I'm like, you know, it's enough to just be nice and kind. Like, if we were a Lynyrd Skynyrd song, I always say, if we both a Lynyrd Skynyrd, did I say it wrong? Lynyrd Skynyrd?
No, that's
he'd
right.
be Simple Man and I'm Free Bird. I love him, though.
I love that.
Yeah.
And did you ever play any pickup basketball other than with my family farm?
You know, I could probably think of every time I've ever played a sport.
Yeah.
It was that time on the farm, middle school soccer. I kind of ran track in high school, but it was so bad. I ran the 800. I got lapped. Did I tell you this? By everybody. Got lapped by everybody.
Are you kidding
me? There were only two
laps. In the 800?
The people that understand that are like, some people are like, I don't get it. But it's like, no like there's two laps.
And it's like.
And then I was saying, just start the next one.
It's like at max a 3-minute race.
Well, for everybody, like Nico, I was really, really bad at
that. Okay.
And it is hard because it's kind of like, I don't need this, but like, I'm okay with you guys starting the next race. But if you need the field, because then people are clapping for you.
Yeah. And you're by yourself. You're
and you're just
one.
Like, and you want people to be like, you should hear me sing, but like, you can't. So.
When you sports did track in high school, didn't anyone like do any like performance enhancing stuff?
Wait, dude, is that like big? Steroids? Is track big for that?
I didn't think so, but in my high school, there was like all these rumors about guys being like, "Oh yeah, that guy's on steroids."
No
That's
way!
So interesting.
Yes. I'm like, for high school track,
that's crazy.
Shouldn't they use it for a real sport? Track is like, I feel like the gay sport. It's like fake.
It's not that it's fake. It's
the
just
original
like,
sport.
Oh, wait, I feel like take it back. Sometimes on a podcast, you just have to like have an opinion.
Oh, no, I
like,
get it.
It's so fucking fake losers track.
It's just kind of like not a game, though, the way other
correct,
are. Yeah. So I agree with you. I don't know why they would do it, but I didn't hear any rumors for like any other sports.
Were they doing it for like the running side or like where like shot put? Like, because like
running, we didn't do shot put.
Dang.
Or at least if they did, it was hidden from me. Yeah, yeah. No one saw that.
Damn. Okay. That's crazy. I don't think I ever heard any performance enhancing. I had like kind of a goody two-shoes school in general, but I did find out when I was so scandalized when I was a freshman, some of the senior girls were bringing vodka in their water bottles at school, and I was like, what? Where did you get that? You said that's me.
Did you actually?
Yeah.
What would be the point? Like, that feels so intense.
Well, the thing with alcoholism is that it's not rational, really.
Sure. Yeah.
It's not... My mom one time said to me, she's like, I will not reason with someone who's drunk. And I think about it all the time. You cannot reason with a drunk person or a weird person. Like, you just like, can't. You can't reason with that. Like,
and even if Philadelphia's finest attorney can't reason with you, I mean, what are we going to do?
She can. If this litigator can't reason, it's like, no one can. No one, she's right.
Seriously. Yeah, I love basketball. I played in high school. It's a really fun game. And I feel like soccer and basketball have a lot like of overlap in terms of just like strategy and the way... I don't know. They're both kind of free-flowing games.
Yeah, exactly.
There's a little bit more structure to basketball because there's a little bit more, but like plays and offensive schemes.
I just remember I played basketball for 4 years. I did.
You
actually.
Did. Your dad
totally
coached
did.
You.
I just remember that.
Yeah.
I played for 7 seasons. Because
Are
it
you
would be
fucking
two
serious?
Years for 3.5 years. I played for 7 seasons.
There were 2 seasons of basketball a year.
Yeah, two too many. Two.
Winter and summer. Or?
So summer. All
that
year.
Sounds right. Winter and summer, yeah, we never had time off.
Oh my God.
Never had time off. And
wow.
My dad was the coach, which I begged him to do. And he would, he just like, I don't know, like he just like taught us drills. And he was so nice to me, but it was a miserable experience.
I
was so bad at it.
I want to watch, we would used to do these warm-ups and we would side shuffle like you're on defense, like to the elbow, to the half line, to the elbow, to the end. I would love to watch you doing that.
At Barry's boot camp, sometimes they're like, okay, side shuffle on the treadmill. And it's like, what do you all think you are?
Yeah.
Like, we're just trying to look, like, come on. We're not, this is not
like that's a knee injury waiting to happen.
Ugh, it's a lawsuit waiting to happen.
True. Spoken like a litigator's son.
But I never scored that one time. Not one time.
You did call a timeout, though, didn't you?
One time I yelled, we should just let the other team win. Just let them win. Like, I had an outburst.
Wait, let them win. Can you paint the scene for us of how this came to be?
I was really mad one time. I was, like, kind of, like, I don't think spastic's okay to say, but it was hurled against me.
Wait, is spastic a bad word? I don't know. I think it's...
I think it's fine,
I
but
think
I don't...
Spastic
I understand
is okay.
Why...
I think we should bring it back. So I was kind of I was always a bit of a 10, and I don't know, I just didn't like what was going on.
What
and
grade were you in?
I played between, like, second and, like, fifth or sixth grade.
Okay, word.
Maybe
word.
First. Maybe like first and fifth grade.
Okay, okay.
I was not playing in sixth grade. So
yeah, okay.
Yeah, like probably like second or third grade.
All right.
And it was a summer. It was a hot summer. Mm-hmm. And you're just like, just let them win. Just let them win. Why don't we just let them win?
I'm trying to imagine if one of the kids I coached started screaming that on the field, I'd be like, all right, come out. Come
not
sit.
Not only is it so inappropriate, it's also like the opposite of competitive spirit. I don't want to be here. I hate this. But also, I want to lose.
It's also like no one ever tells the narrative of. It's always like, oh, that's the coach, and that's his high achieving son. It's never that's the coach, and that's his wacky gay child who like doesn't start and doesn't want to play.
I was gonna say. So, did you get into basketball because your dad wanted? Like, who? How did you get into basketball?
I wanted us to play. I don't know.
Say that again.
I wanted us to.
Yeah, before you said you wanted him to coach.
I begged him.
Yeah.
I begged him.
You wanted to be the coach's kid.
I wanted to be the son of the coach. And so as the joke goes, I said, you need a job. Here's a whistle and a clipboard. Let's go. And we were so bad. I think we were defeated our first, like
defeated.
Yeah. We never won. And then one time, I'll never forget this. They accidentally gave us 2 points, and then since we cheered so loud,
they didn't take them back.
It's like someone made a mistake, or there was like a call that was like bad, and then the ref was like, "Okay, it's fine."
That's because so
they got
funny.
So excited.
Did you? And you never scored any points.
Not one.
You called a timeout though, didn't you?
Like maybe I don't know. I screamed.
I feel like he told me that because it was making me laugh so hard. Because I'm like, I feel like coaches were always like, if you get in trouble, call a timeout. Yes, if you get in trouble, call a timeout. If you get cornered, call a timeout. Yeah. And like players, like I remember thinking, as a young player, I always forgot that. I never kind of went to that as like a tool in my arsenal. I was always, but I was like engaged in the game in a lot of other ways. But it just made me laugh to think of the one kid who doesn't want to be on the court, who's never done anything else. It's just like timeout, and it's like actually doing something. I don't know. It just makes me laugh that it's like the only kid who knows to do that is the one who does not want to be there.
Like such an ill-timed timeout too. Yeah, like,
that's so funny.
Like kid's about to score.
You're like teeing him up because you're out of timeouts.
I remember we learned how to set a pick. My dad taught us how to set a pick because he'd be like, then you cover your balls. And I was like, that's crazy. And but also like, do you know what a pick is?
Yeah.
I'm not getting CTE for this. You know what I mean? It's like I'm not here for this physical game.
No one's charging into each other that hard.
I got whacked once pretty bad. I was chasing a girl down the court and like she was on the break and I ran right into this huge girl and just got flattened.
Ugh.
My grandfather almost came on the court. He was so pissed.
Oh my God. So it was her fault?
No, I don't remember if it was a moving screen or not. You're not allowed to move.
Sometimes just the collisions happen naturally.
Yeah.
That's the thing with sports are crazy like that.
Yeah. I know I've been having to teach my kids that like so you are going to have to touch each other at some point. Like it's a physical game.
Well, that's what I like about soccer compared to basketball is that soccer, it just feels like my very low level memory of it is that you kind of just like move your body around.
Yeah.
And like if you're on defense, you don't really have to do much. When in doubt, kick it out.
Yeah.
And whereas basketball, it is a lot more like
it's not
hands.
When in doubt, throw it out.
Yeah. It's like your hands are involved. You can catch things.
Yeah.
It's like a lot.
All right. Should we move to our
last
question?
What's a voice we want to see in the world?
Okay. I really would like... And like a group or a community or just someone you could turn to when you want honest feedback on something.
Oh my God.
I feel like I've never gotten honest feedback in my life.
Oh God. I have to think about that.
Okay. So what specifically are you looking for? Honest? Anything? Everything?
Like comedically one thing, like you can do a show and you know it's bad and people be like, that was pretty good. That was great set. Great. Like, don't lie to me. Don't lie to my face. Yeah. It makes me not like you that you're complimenting me.
Yeah.
Right now.
Yeah.
Or even just like, how should I do my hair? Like, I just need someone to be like objective.
Mm.
Wait, I'm trying to think because I feel like I always want honest feedback. And then when I get it, I think that person's rude and I'm mad at them. And it's like,
it is
crazy.
Kind of like you get what you ask for sometimes, which is tough. Okay, so do you feel that your girlfriend shows she's not a good, she's not telling it to you straight when it comes to your hair or like a shirt you're like trying out?
I think she does a good job.
She seems like an honest lady.
It. I think she's afraid of hurting my feelings a lot of times.
Oh,
though.
Yeah.
So I think she does kind of be
delicately.
Like, oh, no, that was actually pretty good.
Yeah.
That nice. Improv set for four people was not good. Like it was set up to fail.
Yeah,
so.
Yeah. Sometimes, it's tough. It's hard to get compliments in on work too because it feels, especially right after the show, because your emotions are so tied to what just happened, and your physical state is now at like a different place than like your rational brain can be about things. So even if it is like you made the best of it, out of a four-person show or whatever, it's like you still feel bad.
Do weird people ever say you were the best one?
Yes.
And you're
yes.
like, that doesn't feel good.
No, it does though.
I feel like
it does feel good.
I feel like you're.
I want that.
I feel like when they're like, you were the best one, they were like, this was a shit show.
Yeah.
But you were this gleaming, shining light.
Yeah.
In the midst of this, because like my whole family went to see my improv IO graduation in Chicago. Mm-hmm. That's not going to be good.
No, that's not going to be good.
But then they're like, you were the best one. It's like of the IO graduation class. Yeah, like, oh my God.
We got to raise the bar.
Thank God. Yeah.
We got to raise the bar.
Like if you were the best one, that would be concerning.
You know where I do see people getting certainly honest feedback, but I guess it's not like, it's like under what credentials is Reddit. I've seen there's certain pages where like people be like there's like these trans guy ones where they're like, which I don't know if this is healthy or not, but people do this. Well, they'll just be like, do I pass? And then people will be like, no.
That's not healthy.
It's not. It's not good.
That's not healthy.
But it is a place where there is honest feedback happening.
No, totally. Yes, actually, for sure. Mm-hmm. Because I think people do that with stand-up. People post their stand-up on Reddit. Maybe just for attention. Well, I don't think it's for feedback. Maybe it is for feedback.
Maybe just for views on it.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah.
Should we be doing that?
I don't know. It can't hurt.
If you want honest feedback.
Yeah, you might get insulted on it.
Yeah.
Oh, I don't want that even a little.
Yeah.
I don't want that at all. If you even write something that's confusing, I'll be devastated, even if it's not insulting, if I can understand it.
Okay, but what about your show for creative stuff? What about your writing team that you work with, Little Boy Evil? How do you feel about feedback there?
I mean, people are certainly honest in a group like that because... Yeah. But it's also clouded by like, well, this is what I think is best because it's like, and they have an equal stake.
It's
in
the
it.
Three of you, Sam and Rob.
Yep.
That's interesting. That's beautiful.
Yeah.
I feel that with you sometimes.
That we can. That
like
what?
We both, when we have, literally yesterday we had a conversation about, you're like, well, why do you think this? Do you remember that?
Yeah.
And it's like, well, we're not idiots. We're both funny. Mm-hmm. And it's like, we have a different opinion on this. And then we like work through it. And it's like, but I trust that if there's something that you don't like, there's probably a reason that you don't like it. But then I have to weigh of how big my feeling is and if my feeling is in response to what, like if mm-hmm. how, what my feeling is relates to your rationale, if that makes sense.
Yeah, yeah.
Because sometimes it's almost like there's two different things happening.
Yeah.
And then, but yeah.
Especially with creative stuff, because it's hard to divorce your feelings and your like ego and how you feel about your work from like, the actual rationale of the yeah. project of like, oh, actually, what is the best thing here for the whole piece? It's really hard to balance, especially when you get multiple people in on it.
Yeah.
So you the three of you write together?
Mm-hmm.
Oh my God, that's so interesting.
It's also stressful because like kind of like what you were saying, if Sam is like, oh, I would just change this line to this, my instant reaction is like, I'll kill you, Sam.
Who's the most precious? Wait, do you not want to talk about the band?
No, we can. It's fine.
Who's the most, this might be bad to even like word a question like that. Like what's, the, so you all write, it's all, you're all, y'all equal parts writers.
Mm-hmm.
Who, you, Robert Johnston and Sam Schaefer.
Full names, okay.
Who's the most like, who's the most intense?
Both of them. And I'm chilling in the middle.
Oh, yeah, interesting.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah.
They're both very intense. And I like to go, whatever, guys.
Yeah.
I'm chill. I'm easy.
That's kind of nice about having three because there's always a tiebreaker.
They mm-hmm. say that.
Yeah.
Someone said that. It was with Will Ferrell, maybe. Someone said that.
Yeah.
On a thing.
Nice. There's always a tiebreaker. What was I going to ask? When you guys write, do you all, like, are you all on the dock together writing at the same time? Or do you write separately and come together? Like, how does it work?
I think we used to do that, and now it's, like, separate, come together, and then we just go over it together.
Yeah, yeah.
So it's a lot less intense that way.
Yeah, because when you guys like write sketches, are you like each in charge of writing a different sketch or like each a different draft of the same sketch?
It's kind of like if I have a pitch, mm-hmm. Sam might then write it, and then like me and Robert might like look at it and make edits.
Gotcha.
To it.
Cool.
Is this interesting?
Yeah, no, yeah. No, I mean, I'm very interested. Yeah.
If you're at home and you're not interested, maybe interesting people are interested. Katie Couric said that.
Yeah, because sometimes we'll, like when we write together, we usually will do like we'll come up with ideas sometimes separately or together, like for pitches of like a story idea, and then we'll separately like take that story idea and make an outline, and then we'll come together and like consolidate it based on what we like, and then we'll separately go write that. And then come together and consolidate based on what we do. So I feel,
yes,
which is like has been a pretty good system for us.
I think writing dialogue is really, there's something about like working together that can be play, but it also is largely it's a meeting. You're mm-hmm. like sitting with a person going mm-hmm. through your meeting, whereas like the act of writing feels like it's like la 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 la, like you're in the park looking at a tree and you're like, and then this happens, and it's like, so I think it's hard to like marry those two things. Does that make sense?
Well, it can just be like hard to, yeah, to like, because sometimes when you have more people there, there's like also this like pressure to like talk about it or have a conversation or figure it out,
yeah,
which can be helpful because it can like push the needle.
That's interesting.
But at the same time, it's like if you need the time to marinate and think, I find that that's easier to do by myself.
Yeah.
Agreed.
Yeah.
WGA is like, we need more writers in the room. And I was like, yeah, but also...
we
also
need more rooms for the writers. I
know. But also maybe they all get their own room.
Yeah.
That's incredible.
Yeah. Well, you have an older sister, so do you feel you get older, right?
I have two. One older, one younger.
Oh my gosh. Wow. Yes. Okay, so you're...
You're a middle child.
So
middle.
Are you not getting... were you not growing up with a lot of feedback from those two?
I would say me and my sisters did not have one meaningful conversation our whole lives.
Wait, can we talk about you living with your sister?
Yeah, I live
with
my
your
younger sister.
Then where does your older sister live?
She's in Oklahoma, being OBGYN.
Oh my God. Wait, that is such important work in Oklahoma.
Yeah, seriously. Yep. Fighting
and
the
I
good
do
fight.
Sketch comedy that bombs online. And we're both doing our things. It's fine.
And then your younger sister does?
She's fashion designer.
Oh, really?
Oh, wait,
cool.
No way.
Yeah.
That's very cool. Where does she work?
I think the place is called Land and Sea, but they're like, you know them?
That sounds really familiar. Yeah,
I think they're like a distributor for like Target and like places like that.
That's
cool though. Yeah,
I said yes, but I actually don't.
Land and Sea sounds familiar.
At first, yeah. I was like yes. I was like yes.
My sister works in fashion too. We'll have to.
What company?
Maybe she works for Tory Burch.
Okay. Oh, yeah. I know.
So
that
she's
one.
On the she's on the buying team there.
Cool.
Yeah. Which she
like Rachel Green on Friends. Do you watch Friends?
I've watched Friends. I don't watch it.
I'm like hot on Friends right now,
really?
And I feel like an AI person, and people are gonna think less of me because it's like, oh, well, yo, what are you, 2003? And it's like, yeah, I am. I like it. I like Friends.
Also, Friends is a classic. It is.
It's
good.
A classic. I like
hold
love
up.
It. I think that this way that they wrote those six characters is holds up a lot. Like
okay,
that they created six insanely clear characters who are always going
to
do the same thing every time, but the thing they're doing is really funny, and it's like this machine that keeps going.
Yeah,
I love it.
That is such like a testament to good writing. It's
yeah,
like, can this sitcom just go on forever?
Yeah,
and it could have.
And it's really hard to come up with an idea or a dynamic that can sustain that long of a run because it like a lot of stuff is kind of. Ends up eating itself or like changing too much and it doesn't hold up the same way like the initial concept did, like the bear, I think. But
hard to think of a six-person ensemble show that is that.
Modern Family.
Yeah.
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 Seinfeld had four.
Yeah.
The Office had a ton of
Will
people.
And Grace had four.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay, but I'm surprised that having two sisters, you weren't getting positive. I mean, you weren't getting constant feedback.
Well, it was probably negative feedback
from my
younger sister.
Sure. Yeah.
My older sister was very just like into her schoolwork. And she, like from the moment she was like six, she was like, I want to be a doctor. I want to be an OBGYN.
Oh my God, that's amazing.
Very precocious young girl.
Yeah,
being
seriously.
Like, I want to be
was she placed in Oklahoma or she moved
she
there?
She got placed there.
And she likes it there?
I don't know. She moved there pretty recently.
Is she in Oklahoma City?
Yes.
Cool.
Yes.
Cool. I've
my
been there.
Roommate one time went to Oral Roberts University.
Is that in Oklahoma?
Yes, it's very religious. She was nice. She was a good girl. She was good.
She was a good girl.
She liked Ted Cruz, but she was nice.
Okay. There it is.
She wore Glossier.
The problem with living in the South at any point is you know somebody who is nice to you whose politics are not.
Yeah.
You know, that's the tough part about down there.
Yeah.
Okay, but... So if you were going to pick one person in your life who you think could give you the feedback you're looking for, who would you turn to?
I would want it to be like a stranger.
Okay.
Or like somebody I hired for this service.
Yeah.
That could just be like, I'm giving you this. Tell me if you like it or if it's bad.
Mm,
just be honest.
Oh,
you have
that
no
makes
stake
total
in it.
Sense.
Yeah.
It's really hard to find something like that.
Right. Yeah. I don't think it exists.
Yeah.
And I don't want to pay anything.
Well, I'm giving Rachel Horwitz $38 to read my script because it's $1 a page and for like honest feedback. And sometimes I do feel like when you're like seeking that and you're like, I'm paying you for a service and your job is to be really honest here, then like maybe that's a nice way to get it. So I think you need to pay money.
Mm-hmm.
You need to pay
and
money.
That's where the problem comes in.
That's where the issue is.
But I feel like there's got to be like, I don't know. I mean, like there's writers groups and stuff, obviously. But then you are beholden to like... it's still like other artists who might have like ego or something wrapped up in it, so it can be hard to find like a totally neutral party.
Oh my God, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Again, maybe Reddit. Maybe just being like, or Craigslist, seeking a man.
I hate giving people feedback for their scripts.
No, it's impossible.
I hate it.
You have to be like, here's a compliment, a compliment, a compliment.
You know why I don't like it? Because sometimes it's like, I don't think I'm good at it. And like, I don't mean that in a self-deprecating way. Like, I'm just like, literally, I don't think I'm good at that. Like, because also it's like, especially when it comes to comedy, it's like this person had a vision of what they wanted. And I think it's hard to read it then through your eyes and be like, well, I think this, 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 and this. And it's like, well, what's their vision? Like, what did they want? What are they trying to do with this?
Yeah.
And it's hard to not like put your little, your own little spin on like self into it in this weird way.
Yeah.
No, I totally agree.
I really like reading scripts and making notes and stuff though.
I know.
I do like that side.
You're really good at it.
Thank you. Thank you. I mean,
you should run a service.
For money.
I mean,
you should charge people money.
Yeah.
I would read yours for free, just FYI.
No, because I never read your last one.
Well, I just sent it to you. It's
no,
okay.
No, no, no. But I didn't read your last one. And you read my last one, and then I never read your last one, and I think about it every day.
Oh, it's okay.
No, I still think about it. It's like kind of like this weird thing, like we've never been even because I never read that script.
Well, I want you to know that I'm not holding that against you.
Yeah, I feel like Nico doesn't care at all.
Well, I think we need to raise...
I'm trying to even remember which... Like Ghost Coast? Okay,
we need to raise the bar.
Yeah,
we need to raise the bar. I should have read it, and
you
it wasn't
know,
right.
It's okay, because it's a two-year-old script at this point, so...
Okay.
Well, Tony, thank you so much for being on the pod.
Thank you for,
thank you
me.
For coming
we're
on
so
podcast.
We had such a great time. Let's hope the Mets win tonight and continue to win. Let's go Mets. Is there anything you want to plug or plug your socials or anything coming up?
Little Boy Evil, follow us on whatever. We got shows.
Are you guys in New York Comedy Fest?
Yes, on the November 8th.
Great. Where?
Brooklyn Art House.
That's
hell
cool.
Yeah.
Oh, fun. Mm-hmm. So fun.
Yeah,
hell
so
yeah.
Come to that if you want. But if not, no worries. All vibes. All
check out. They post a lot of sketches online, including Clifford, We Adopted the Dog.
Yes. Yes. Damn. That's a great one. That's a great
you
one.
We were on Instagram today.
Yeah. So check them out. Little Boy Evil, really funny sketch group. Our friend Sam Schaefer also in that group. And you guys are going to be working on like a sketch pilot. So hopefully that'll be coming out.
Yeah, we'll see.
At some point. Yeah.
We'll see. We got into the conversation of funding for
it.
That's and now
tough.
I'm like, oh, well, this will never
happen. So if you're home and you have money, and you want to do something with it, gay people need money.
And straight people.
And so does the
woman. Oh, and straight people. I'm so sorry. It's so rare for us to have shivers.
And then we have our next Boys Club show on October 24th.
Thursday.
Yes.
We'd love to see you there. It's an incredible lineup.
Super fun lineup. All of my tour dates for end of October through December are on my website and on my Instagram. So please, if you're in Austin, Raleigh, Indianapolis, or DC, come see me. Anything else?
Thank you guys so much for all of your funding and
let's have a boys club of getting that loose change out to the folks who need it, huh? And by that we mean artists who want to make their little shows. All right, out of here on a smooch. 1, 2, 3. What's up, boys at home? Thank you so much for listening to our podcast, Boys Club. Connor, where can they find you on Instagram?
At Connor Janda, Conor. Janda is Panda with a J.
And you can follow me at Nico Carney, NicoCarney. You can follow us both at Boys Club Comedy on Instagram. And we have a live show.
Our live show is at Club Coming, typically on the last Friday of the month. And it is always the two of us and some of our favorite funny people. And we'd love to see you there.
Yeah, often people from the podcast. So come check those out. If you live in New York, we'd love to see you there. Bye, boys.
Bye, boys.